Today I'd like to talk a little bit about some work that came out of my postdoctoral research at the University of Vermont with Dr. Don Ross. I'd like to acknowledge Don Ross here, he's in the crowd here, and as well as Bruce Hoskins at the University of Maine, who worked on this with us. Just a little bit of background. We heard today most recommendations for phosphorus are based on molybdate reactive phosphorus, or MRP. This is mainly orthophosphate, as Barbara pointed out in the opening talk, but it may include complex inorganic P as well. ICP, on the other hand, measures all phosphorus in solution, right? So you have that high temperature argon plasma environment, and so you're able to measure all the P in solution, including presumably organic forms. And another thing to point out, organic phosphorus is currently unaccounted for in most U.S. Agronomic P recommendations as well as environmental recommendations. So just a little bit more background here. ICP is becoming essentially the golden standard, really, in soil testing labs because you can analyze for multiple elements simultaneously. For phosphorus, it works well in phosphorus extracts. The spec is a little bit more sensitive, but other than that, ICP works very well. I want to point out that Iowa State is one of the few, I think only states in the country that has actually developed separate calibrations for some of their crop P recommendations. Antonio Mallarino published some work back in 2003 that looked at comparing these two tests for maize in Iowa. And they now offer two separate calibrations for those two tests. So how I got turned on to this this phenomenon was really I came across this Sarah 17 working group paper that looked at this issue, looking at ICP measured phosphorus values compared to spectrometer molybdate reactive P concentrations. And basically, this was headed up by Gary Pruszynski, probably some of you have heard of him. And what they found was, generally speaking, the ICP generally measures more P, but they concluded that the mechanisms are largely uncertain. So I wanted to explore that a little bit more. I just want to go over, before I launch into some of the data here, how the UVM soil testing system is set up. So here are your soil P categories by concentration, right? So you can see that the optimum level of soil P in the soil ranges between 4.1 to 7, okay, in University of Vermont recommendations. And just also want to point out that UVM, since the early 1980s, has accounted for the effect of pH in aluminum on phosphorus. And that's kind of a big deal, right? Because when you all take an intro soils, right, you talk the importance of aluminum and phosphorus, right? So when you have a low pH, there's vastly less available phosphorus than at, say, pH 5.5 versus 7, right? But it's amazing that quite a few land-grant universities don't take that into account yet. And what about organic P? Well, virtually no recommendations take that into account. So real quick, methods here. I'm not going to go into the methods very deep here. Basically, this study was, investigation was done in two parts. Part one includes three different data sets. First data set is a sample set taken from northern New York dairy farms that span five different counties in northern New York. That data set includes 244 soil samples, and they're all from the 0 to 8 inch depth, okay? So in that AP layer. The next data set is from a 5.7 hectare tile drainage research field at Minor Institute that we've been doing some work on. And this sample set includes AP, B, and BC horizons, 164 total samples. And then the last site for the part one is a 10-hectare riparian site that we looked at up in Vermont. And these were taken on a grid, more or less, and they also represent depth increment samples every 25 centimeters down to a depth of 1 meter. And again, a pretty large data set there. The second part of this little study, I looked in the UVM soil testing archives for tests that came into the lab. And these samples represent samples that came into the lab from 95 to 2005.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get there.
I have one picture of slides here, or one slide of pictures, rather, just to show you some of the areas. I don't, this is by no means comprehensive here, but
I'm not going to try to use the pointer
because I'll screw something up. But the one soil pit here you see down to the right, that's limerick soil. That's mapped fairly, very commonly in riparian areas in Vermont. Oh, thanks, Barbara. So again, this is an alluvial soil, very commonly mapped. It's a poorly drained soil. You can see the water table there. And a fair amount of silt and clay. Here, I just love these pictures. These are in pasture, but you can see one of the issues in Vermont, talking about phosphorus mobilization, is actually stream bank erosion. So not only do you have agricultural sources, right, and urban sources and things like that, wastewater treatment plants, but you also have a fair amount of phosphorus being mobilized to Lake Champlain just from stream bank erosion alone. And some other folks in Minnesota and other places have looked at that as well. Real quick on the analytical methods. All the data that I'm going to show you today, were soils are extracted by ammonium acetate at pH 4.8, otherwise known as the modified Morgan's solution, 1 to 5. P measured, as I mentioned before, by the Molybdate colorimetric procedure and as well by ICP. And what we did was to look at this unreactive P fraction, right, we took the numeric difference between the P measured by Molybdate colorimetric procedure and that of the ICP. So the difference between that was defined as molybdate unreactive P. Okay? Okay, let's jump into some data here. So here, this is a plot of ICP divided by the color P here on the y-axis as a function of the colorimetric P. And this is for that part one, right? So this is a pretty big data set here. And you can see, the larger differences were at low inorganic P concentrations, right? So molybdate reactive P is being reflected in that colorimetric procedure, right? And that's what we call soil test P, right? But you can see, we had all over, in some samples, right? Look at this. I mean, between all these samples tested, we're 4 or 6 times greater in P than what we're measuring in color P, right? So we're ignoring all that, right? Because it's easier. We don't really know if it's available or if it's not available. Okay? Sorry, these came in a little blurry, but at least my axes are legible here. So these are the three sites plotted on the same axis here, right? So those three sites that I talked about, two agricultural samples and groups of samples, and then the riparian samples. And this was really the plot that sort of blew my mind, and maybe it's just me. But when you look at the literature out there that has looked at comparing these two methods, what they've found, they haven't really found any consistent explanatory variable. But boom, this is pretty convincing to me. This is, right, so you got to remember these samples are a mix of depths across management, and yet this relationship, this simple relationship, right, as a function of soil organic matter, is pretty powerful. Okay, so here it is with the best fit line through it. I took one data point out here. So we have N of 692, right? So essentially 67% of the variability in molybdate unreactive P, right, is explained by just soil organic matter content. I think that's pretty fascinating. And the other thing to note here, look at the range. I mean, we go all the way from right below 1 all the way up to 9 or 10. And if you remember that slide I showed you before of the soil test P categories for University of Vermont, optimum was what, 4.1 to 7. So we're covering a big range of P here, right? This is a pretty big range in terms of the current P recommendations, right? And so we think this is some type of organic P, right? Exact nature unknown. Okay, so what about other factors, right? We had some other soil test information along with this, and so there were some other factors involved. So some other studies have shown an effect of pH, and so we see that here. It's a little noisy, but definitely a pretty, it's a significant relationship. I also ran stepwise multiple linear regression here, And interestingly enough, it did not select pH, but it did select calcium, which is a pretty good surrogate for it. So soil organic matter, right, that explained a lot. So if you add calcium and iron, you get another 9%
increase in R-square. So just wanted to point that out. Okay, so I'm going to shift gears to the UVM soil test database. Again, we're talking about a fairly large number of samples here. Just want to go over the some of the summary statistics here.
So here we have modified Morgan P color, right? So you can see the min, max, 247. But one thing I guess I'll point out here, because these were not normally distributed, not surprisingly. But if you just look at the median differences here between color and ICP, it's a fairly big difference there. And we'll talk more about that as we go through here. And then just to give you a sense of the pH, you know, pH ranged from 3.1 to 7.8 in these soils.
And these are all
from cropland samples. These are soils that were sent into the UVM testing lab. So here's this plot again, ICP over color. And again, we get up even higher here, right? So we have some samples that are, you know, 10, 20, you know, up to 40 and 50 times higher, right, than the Willis-Bates reactive P. So
pretty interesting.
So here's a plot of ICP phosphorus as a function of the molybdate reactive P. And again, pretty strong relationship here, right? R squared 0.93. So on average across all these samples, you can see that we had about a 19% increase, right? Going by the regression line.
P measured by ICP was 19% greater, right, on average. And if you split this out,
right, you're going to find different slopes depending on the range of data that you select.
2 minutes, perfect.
Okay, some preliminary conclusions here. The modified Morgan solution is not designed to extract organic P, right? So that's sort of interesting, right? It's buffered at pH 4.8. So it's entirely not designed to extract labile organic P, yet we're finding an abundance of organic P in these extracts. Organic matter strongly correlated with molybdate unreacted P over a very wide range of soil series, drainage, horizons, and management, right? And I think this highlights the importance of these labile organic forms or unreactive forms and the need to do a better accounting of these forms and the dynamics and include them into both agronomic and environmental P recommendations.